glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to see everybody's faces. We're just going to have a great service in the presence of the Lord, because at the end of the day, there's nothing better than his presence. There's nothing more healing, more refining, more miracle working than the power of just getting before God. So I'm going to go ahead and pray this morning, and we're just going to jump right into it. So, Father God, I just thank you for the service this morning. I thank you for your presence being ushered in, Lord God. I thank you for the direction that you're taking us this morning, and I just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're ready to run today.
Sin, fear gripped me, and I heard you call my name. Dead in sin, fear gripped me, and I heard you call. To rise, throw off chains.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall they hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And verse 8 says, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like I'm
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
I'm surrounded by you. through this song, this is what I see. This is me. And it says that he's surrounding me. That means the enemy is on the other side. He can't get through God to get to you. He's got to go through God to get to you. So it is actually a lie from the enemy when he's making you feel surrounded, because God is surrounding you. Amen. Just remember that.
Amen. Now come then, sing that never fails. Do not fail me now. You won't fail me now. I'm waiting. The same God who's never late, working all things out. Working all things out. You sing it. Joy, my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will. Now come on, baby, we sing God never fails. When I fail, your name.
receive the word that you have for us, that it changes us, that it molds us into who you need us to be today. Holy Spirit, take control of this service and have your way. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
I got a few announcements for us real quick. Don't forget, this Thursday, Friday, and Sunday is Christy and Miko. Whatever you need to do to possibly get here, make sure you're here. God's going to show up. God's going to do a miraculous work in you. And he's going to level you up. And then you're going to start from where you're at. And then the chili cook-off is Friday, October 8th. I don't know who's competing or how many people they're going to be, but I feel like I'm going to be a little over full by the time we're done that day. So it's the 8th. That's all the details I got. So, 6 o'clock here. Oh, it's here. Okay. So Friday the 8th, 6 o'clock, it's here. And then that's all the announcements. And I'm doing the offering, which I found out at 10:30 last night or sometime. But after I found out, as I was laying down, just thinking about it, God gave me a scripture. And it was in the middle of Jesus washing feet. And I feel like some people need to hear this and understand that the scripture can apply for where you're at in your faith and giving. And it's John 13:7. Said, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And I feel like there's some of us that have been giving, and God had put it on your heart to either give a specific amount, or you've been given this amount that is kind of uncomfortable for so long. And you're sitting there asking and questioning, okay, God, I've been giving for this reason. Where is it at? And God's saying, what I do now, you don't know, but you will. See, I think we're at a season where we're getting restless. We want God to do what he's promised, and we want it now, and we want to just have it because we're excited for where God's going to take us. But God's trying our faith in some of you. Some of you, what God is going to give you is greater than what's in your mind and in your thought process right now. And if he gives you that greater now, you're not going to be prepared for it. So you got to keep preparing, because hereafter, when God gives you that blessing from the offering and things that you've been believing for and chasing after, you're going to know why you didn't get it now. And that's the thought that God gave me last night. Short, sweet, and to the point. So we're going to get the offering buckets out. And I'm going to pray over the offering. So, Father God, I just thank you for this offering. I thank you for the people that are going to be able to give, Lord God, that you just bless them abundantly, Lord God, that they just stay faithful. God, I thank you for the ones that are fighting with their faith right now to give, because they've been giving and they've been believing. They haven't seen the return yet, but that they know that no matter how long it takes, that the return will come. In Jesus' name, amen. The kids. So children, you are released to go. band, I get the honor of introducing the pastor from Only Believe in Bakken's, our apostle. He's my dad's spiritual father, so I guess that makes him my spiritual grandfather, but I don't ever admit that because I want him to feel young as long as possible because he's just been a blessing to my life and all of our lives. And without the foundation that he's laid in my family's life, we might not even be here. So I introduce him, Pastor Peter Dosick.
Praise God. He is the only guy to show up at my house at 12 o'clock with wings. Yeah. And who wants to eat wings at 12 o'clock? I do. So, but it's a great, great privilege to be here today. I do have an announcement to make. I made it Thursday night, but maybe some of you were not here. As a church family, you know, I want to bring something to your attention. Pastor Philip and Pastor Regina, I've asked to take a sabbatical. Pastor Philip hasn't been sleeping for probably 5 weeks plus, and along with his high blood pressure and due to lack of sleep and so forth, he experienced what we believe is a manic episode. So he is currently being treated for that, getting him back on track. And, you know, he's going to come back stronger than ever. You know, I've seen him go through things that would swallow most people up. So you're stuck with me today, hallelujah, and I trust that I'll measure up to Philip's standard, and hopefully I'll do a good job. That I tell you what, I'm about to kill that ink pen. Here, take this in you. Praise God. All righty, I want to speak to you today about changing seasons. I prophesied to Philip that after a year that this building would be built, that when it was built, that it would open up a new realm and dimension of authority for a city and for a region. You know, I think that this is the first church that was built, had been built in like 49 or 50 years. 50 being the year of Jubilee. And then I told Philip that after a year that that would begin to manifest and that God would begin to break the heavens open and bless and prosper this church. This church has been being seeded for many years. I don't know how many years I've come to the fairgrounds and seen many, many miracles, many salvations. But this is a time, a season that God is going to promote and to change us. And so when I talk today, I'm going to talk out of Daniel, the second chapter, if you'll go there with me. Daniel, the second chapter, and I believe it's verse 20. Daniel 2:20. And it says, "And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee, praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, for thou hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." God is filled with might and power. And understand that it takes might and a supernatural power to change seasons and times. This is what a season and a time is. It is a prophetic season. It is something that has been declared in the secret places of God. A season is an ordained time, much like Jesus was born at an appointed time. Paul was born at an appointed time. Our seed that we're looking at right now, ready for harvest, comes to fruition at an appointed time. Who appointed when the seed would be ripe? Of course, God, the giver of all seed. And so it is a set time by God at his own discretion, not without our compliance or our partnership with God, for we prepare and we grow into places where seasons can be granted to us. And so it is revealed by his prophets, by dreams, by visions. It is the work of the process of time. In other words, seasons are a result of your working with God and him working with you, transitioning you. The Bible says that we never lift a novice up, but promotion comes from the Lord. We don't all stay novices, nor do we all stay in childlike form, but when we grow, when we mature in God, then God moves us into divine places at divine times. It is a time that has been outlived. In other words, if you stay where you are at, you will be nothing but a stagnant, dying item. If you do not move up out of the valley that you've come through, the mountain that you have arrived on, the battle that you're in, the storm that you're in, if you never move on from that point, you are always going to be the same as you were yesterday. And you'll be a proverb instead of a declaration of God's victory. Could I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It is a time that you have outlived. It is a time that you have really been prepared for by everything that you have been through. Everything that you have been through, God uses as a school. God uses as a place of instruction, a place of revelation, of understanding, a place for us to deepen our roots. So God uses everything that comes our way, whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual, God uses that to develop us and to mold us, to bring us into a place that he has prepared for us. Remember Jeremiah, God knows the plans and the purposes that he has for you, and he has a good end. Well, I tell you, I've been through a lot of storms that didn't have a good end. But if I come through them the way that God wants me to, then I am prepared for the reward of the faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is a time ordained by God. It is a change, a transformation that God wants you to be separated from because he has a plan for you that is greater than where you've been. The latter end is always greater than the former. That is the nature of God. So when you come through a season, no matter how bad it's been, you are prepared for something that you've never experienced before. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, this church is in a change. It is about to experience something that God has planned for it before the foundations of the earth. It's like your pastor, before he was ever born, God had an appointed time that he was going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he heard it, faith was going to be born. Now, the reason that he had him hear it as a designated time is because God, knowing the end from the beginning from the end, that he knows all that is going to happen, then what God, foreseeing the need of revival for Kenton, Ohio, stationed a man for a season. For a season. And that season came to pass when Philip Walker and his wife, Regina Walker, responded to the call that God had for them. It was an appointed time. It was for an appointed individual. It has to do with God's forethought and foreknowledge of the need of this city. Who would have thought, well, really, I sent Philip and Regina over here hoping they would at least hold three or four people together for a couple of years and I could bring in a good pastor. Well, the problem was that I sent him in the midst of rednecks that fell in love with a black man. I had no idea how that happened. I did not. And don't even think that I'm prejudiced. Listen, I was raised on the wrong side of the track. The first person I beat up was a black man. First person I ever stayed all night with was a black man. Listen, look at my truck. I'm black. You look at my shoes, and if I have a tie, they're all black. The only thing that looked like a white man is the suit. I'm just telling you, I'm not prejudiced, but I have used Philip and Regina Walker two times to break prejudice over a city. One was in Van Wert, and the other was in Kenton, Ohio. I said, I'm going to throw you to the wolves. I believe God's going to anoint you. I believe you're going to hold people together. And then after a year, you people liked him. I have no idea why, but you did. And I'm telling you what, he has changed the core of this city. He has changed the stand that churches have with the police department, football field, the fire department, and so forth. I thought all people were like Randy Manns. Did anybody know Randy Manns? Yeah, that was a low standard for Kenton. But I sent Philip and Regina Walker here, and they came with a heart of God. And they embraced people that were not going to embrace them. How did that happen? Because God had a time for revival. Now, the season that this church and its leadership is in right now, it is beyond the comprehension or the power of man to bring it to pass. It can only be God. It can only be his spirit that has done it. Because this church, think of this little church right now. We think of the framework of this church. This church has touched nations. Your pastor has stood on platforms in front of 100,000 people, preached the gospel, saw miracles, blind eyes, deaf ears, cripples, and he has taken the gospel from this church to the world. And he's changed different parts of the world. And he brought revival to places that no other man has brought revival. And that is out of Kenton, Ohio, because God had a plan at a season and he had a purpose. The season of yesterday is going to close on all of us. On all of us. It will close. And there is a new season that has never existed. Believe me, friends, you and I are in a season that we are about to be transitioned into that has never existed on planet Earth. It is a season where the church will shine. It is a season where the gloriousness of God will begin to overtake the church, purify it, sanctify it, and cause it to be free from sin and to become the light of the world. It has been seen by God, but it has also now begun to be seen by people. Now, God is about to remove kings. Why? Because there are principalities and powers that are set up over different dimensions of the kingdom of God. One of the reasons that people don't prosper is that Jesus said, you know what? This is available to you, the rich man, that you can receive 100-fold with persecutions. The reason people don't pursue and lay hold of the power of their seed is because of the pressure of the adversary keeping them out. But God is about to remove kings, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, and rulers in heavenly places. God is about to diminish their power by doing two things, not only diminishing theirs, but increasing the church's faith and authority to rule over their enemies that have already been defeated. Remember, Daniel said God removes kings. Why? Because of seasons and times. Seasons and times. And sometimes, Philip Jr. brought it out, sometimes you think that, oh, it ought to happen now. No, there is a season. Because, see, we have to be wise enough. We have to understand things. We have to be faithful enough. We have to be committed enough. And we have to be bold enough to stand after we receive the harvest. Because riches are dangerous. They can taint the heart of man. And if you can't handle it, then understand that that increase will not come. Thank you. God won't risk your salvation so you can drive a new car. Amen? God is into eternity, not just in today. So, when Philip preached that, when he said that this morning, it is absolutely true. We are waiting, but realize that God is faithful as you progress with God, as you go from glory to glory, season to season, time to time, and you stand faithful, then you understand that God will reward you, and he will begin to move kings that have resisted you, principalities, powers, persecutions that have plagued you. God will begin to move out of the way and bring you into the time of harvest. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, so God is doing that. And believe me, God is doing that because he has a plan for this church. And this church is moving into the season of fulfilling that plan and that purpose. And the proving of this house, not just from the leadership, not just from your pastor and his wife, but from you. There is much that is hinged upon the people that follow vision. There is much that is hinged upon the congregation. Sometimes we think it's always the pastor. Well, why isn't the church doing this? I don't know. Why aren't you doing it? Listen, before I ever was a pastor, you know what? I had a food program out of my house. I had a Christmas gift program out of my house. I had a clothing program out of my house. I had my furniture out of my house. I never asked my church to do anything because I realized I was the one that God was supposed to use. I'm not subordinate or limited to what my church, quote unquote, does or doesn't do. I've been called of God to feed the hungry. I've been called of God to clothe the naked. I've been called of God to help the oppressed. I've been called of God to do what Christians are supposed to do. Amen. Could I get an amen? Amen? And so when my city, Sydney, Ohio, needed somebody, they only called me when they had the worst case scenarios. And they would call me and they'd say, "We figured you could help him." What they were really saying, they ain't nobody else stupid enough to help them. And so I would help them. And so they begin to understand that, you know what? He will help people when nobody else will help people. And that's what believers do. Believers are the expression of what they learn in the house of God. Amen. So God has been proving this house. Why? Because when we are faithful over little, we will be made rulers over much. And it takes everybody. Remember Achan and Joshua, where Achan, just one man, caused about 2 million people to be cursed of God because of his disobedience. Folks, our relationship with God is not just one-sided. It affects everybody. Amen? And we stay free from sin and live righteous, not just for our betterment, but for the betterment of the entirety of the organism called the church that we are a part of. Amen. So God has been, whether we like it or not, proving. When we say proving, we're not talking about tempting. It means he's testing. It means he says, "Will you go here? Will you obey in this? Will you give? Will you be faithful to attendance? Will you lift your hands? Will you become engaged? Will you become active?" God is looking at every part of this church to see if it's ready for promotion. If you can't take care of what you have, there's no sense in bringing any more broken through the door. Amen. And so God is proving us all. He's proving every one of us. Yes, leadership. Yes, those that have been here from the foundation. Yes, those that are coming in. But when we prove ourselves faithful in little, then the season changes that God can entrust us with much. So God has been looking and judging so that he may expand us. He needs to expand our faith. You would say, "Well, I have all the faith in the world." You have all the faith in the world that you have been given access to. If you had all the faith in the world, you'd be Jesus. Amen. Just asking your wife, you're not. Now, so God is going to increase our faith. And there are dimensions of faith that are lying wait in every scripture to give birth in our life for us to inherit the season and the time that God is calling us into. And a lack of that faith will keep us out of those seasons. But God is about to increase the faith of our heart. He is about to unlock scriptures and give us revelation that we have never seen. We have read, we have observed, we have heard, but we have never received. And then God is about to increase our authority. Our authority. There are areas that the authority that we possess right now will not give us access to. Remember when Jesus said, "This kind cometh out not, but by prayer and fasting, and because of your unbelief." Unbelief is the inability to believe in a certain area. But when God begins to authorize us to move into a new season, then we are well equipped and able not only to inherit, to access, and to own that season, but to make that season productive for our life. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. And I'm telling you that the faith in this church is about to increase. The authority of this church is about to increase. You're going to find that when you mention the name brings results. So we have to understand that God has a plan for us. And God is about to loose revival. But it takes faith and authority. Why? Because people coming out of a sinful world or a limited life with Christ are always going to have bondage, they're always going to have baggage, they're always going to have problems. What can solve the problem? Faith and authority. Faith and authority. So you and I are going to be increased. And believe me, it will happen. You will know that it's happening. I'm just telling you that it's going to happen. And mark my words, the change of seasons is upon us. And it'll be as quick as the cornfields that you're driving by now that you think, when are they going to take them off? When you go by tomorrow, they'll be gone. That's how fast a season will accelerate itself into our lives and into this church. Now, in order for seasons to change, there will have to be divine change. Now, I'm presuming that I look at the biggest part of you, and most of you are self-changers. You quit smoking because you thought it was wrong. I mean, I have to tell you, when they used to have smoking sections, I'd say, put me over there against that wall. I love the smell of smoke. And I have to tell you the truth, I like smoking. I don't do it. Because God said, son, I want you to quit smoking because I've got a call on your life. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm afraid you'll get cancer. Well, that might be, but by his stripes I'm healed. I could do lots of things to stay healed and not die. But I quit smoking because people expect Christians not to smoke. You smoke one cigarette, you know what? I quit smoking. Took me a year till I got down to one cigarette a week. I'd buy a pack of cigarettes, smoke the cigarette, throw the rest out the window. That is an expensive habit. Until my pastor's wife met me on a Friday night. She said, Pete, she said, I had the craziest dream about you. And I said, what's that? She said, I dream you were smoking a cigarette. And I said, God, there is no way that Pete would do such a thing. And I said, that's it. You're going to tell everybody I'm quitting. And I quit smoking. It wasn't an easy job for me. My wife, she just, you know, pure fallen snow and washed with water, she just quit immediately. You know, she become Jesus's favorite. I had to work my way, buddy. And anyway, I'm just telling you, there are lots of things I like doing. But I don't do them because I stopped. I made the decision, don't do it. But there is going to come a time, and that time is upon us. And it's going to come a time where God is going to cleanse unclean things. Amen. Gray things are going to have to turn white. Things that we allowed or that we thought we could do because it didn't affect us are going to become crucially convicting to us. Amen. We are going to begin to be convicted by things that we have allowed and adapted to in our life. Amen. Why? Because God wants to show himself, and the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, not only now, but in the world to come. Now look, if we're going to see God, the Bible says, be you holy as he is holy. In other words, God is about to do a root system work on each and every one of us. And you're going to begin to hate things that you used to enjoy. You're going to begin to be sickened, convicted. You're going to begin to despise things that you used to, even as a family, allow. And one day you're going to say, you know what? I just think this is wrong. Your husband's going to say, oh, we've been watching this for 14 years. We're now on the fourth season of reruns. And you are going to one day just say something, and you're going to say, that's right. And you are going to begin to clean your act up. Now, you might say, well, what? Can't I do it now? No. You can't even see half the things that we need to get ourselves cleansed from. We can only do it by the chastening of the Lord. We can only do it by the convicting, the deep work of God in our lives. And God's not trying to penalize us. God's not trying to fornicate us from fun or life. What God is trying to do is to bring us into a place that we have access to seasons and time that he has appointed for our life. That's what God wants to do. Good again, amen. So it's going to be God. And during this time, there are going to be hungers and thirstings. Hungers and thirstings. As Matthew, the fifth chapter says, he that hungers and thirsts shall be filled. And as we get filled, there are just certain things that we allow to happen in our lives by God because of the satisfaction in tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So God is going to bring a hunger and a thirsting. That hunger and thirsting will cause us to be drawn to deep, calling unto deep. In other words, God will begin to transform us just like he transformed for thousands of years two stones that he wrote the law on. He is going to write his word according to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 8, Hebrews, the 8th chapter. And what he's going to do is he's going to write his laws and his convictions and his ways upon our hearts. And it's not going to be that we try to do the word. It's not going to be that we try to be good, try to be righteous. It will just be a way of life. That is the transformation of God. God is about to show us in this next work of faith an enlargement and a time of acceleration. God is going to release revival beginning with, number one, an outpour of his presence. Why? Because when we get into the presence of the Lord, it transforms us. It transforms us. Have you ever been in a church service where the presence of God just fell and it's like you just felt clean? You felt like you did when you first got saved. You just felt rejuvenated. You felt like, praise God. And it seemed like you had a desire to come back to the house of God. It's not like you have to be yelled at 14 times we're going to be late. Then you get on the highway, get a speeding ticket, and blame your wife. No, that is not what's going to happen. When you experience this, I'm telling you, it will transform the inward part and the motive of your life. This season is going to transform us. It's going to deliver. It's going to heal. Things will just happen. Have you ever been in a service where, hey, I got healed today? Yes. What was that? That was the presence of the Lord. And God responded to you. And that season is going to change not only this country, but different parts of the world that you and I may never see in our lifetime. Yet, because of the man that God appointed over this house is taking the voice of this house to the world. Dreams and visions and prophetic voices in this church, as well as the gifts of the Holy Ghost, are about to be released. You are going to begin to dream dreams. Who's the oldest in here? You liable to start having a bunch of them. No, look, this is our heritage. Why do we not dream? Why do we not see prophetically? Why do we not get a word? Why? Because there are things that have kept us out of the seasons of promotion. And that is the will of God. It is one of the benefits of being filled with the Holy Ghost. So these things are going to begin to happen in your life. Some of your lives, dreams used to happen, and they stopped. Visions, they stopped. Prophetic utterances, they stopped. But God is about to resurrect these things. And the gifts of the Spirit are going to begin to operate in your life. They aren't just for the church. They are for the world, that they might see the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And so those things are going to begin to happen in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood. So when we start doing this, what happens? No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And one of the voices of the Holy Ghost is the demonstration of the gifts. That's how he preaches that Jesus is raised from the dead. Now, we are moving, and believe me, quickly. We are moving quickly into a time of harvest, blessing, demonstration that has never been seen but has been desired of God. It's a time of acceleration. Things will quickly accelerate in our lives. You know, the Bible says that the devil is cast out and he knows he has a short time. Well, what will God do in that short time? He will accelerate things. Things will have to move quicker because there is a short time. And so God is going to accelerate this, and we're going to see promotion come quickly. We're going to see new seasons, new times happen in our life. And it is a time that you and I are to put in the sickle and bring in the harvest. God has a plan for us, and it's time for you and I to put off our fears, put off our reservations, put off all kinds of things that have stopped us from being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Listen, I've been moved by God before to, you know, just, start telling everybody in this store about Jesus. I'm thinking, God, they would think I'm crazy. He said, well, you ought to be. You're supposed to be peculiar. You're supposed to preach to every creature. Well, these are creatures. Amen? But we are so reserved. We are intimidated by people that have no life in them. People that need Jesus. Amen? And so it's time for you and I to tear down our fears. It's time for us to begin to expect that God will be God in our life. And it's time for us to release our faith and walk in our boldness. In Genesis 39:17 through 40 in verse 4, Joseph, everybody heard of Joseph before? Well, he lived in Potiphar's house, and he was just doing great until Potiphar's wife just lost her ever-loving mind. She made a false excuse or accusation against Joseph. Potiphar, you'd think after living with the woman, would have known her. But he believed her. And to save face in his house, he puts Joseph into prison. Now, Joseph's never been in prison. He's never ruled a prison. But when the jailer sees Joseph, he has such favor. What he does is he embraces Joseph. And I'm sure that he heard about Potiphar's house and so forth. But he embraces Joseph, and Joseph begins to rule over the prison with no training, no education, no instruction. He's just given the authority to do so. Why could Joseph move into that place? The same reason that you and I are going to be able to move into a season that we've never been in. Yet, we will be able to access that season. We will be able to move in that season. We will be able to make that season profitable. Why? Because we've been purged, that we may be more fruitful in the season. And so what will happen is you and I will move into those seasons and we will be equipped. The Bible says that God is our sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5. We are not sufficient of ourselves, but God is our sufficiency. That anointing that made Samson a slayer of 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, that same anointing will be upon us. That anointing that was upon Gideon, that he could destroy a nation with 300 men. That same anointing is what God will equip us with. The anointing that God anointed David with a stone to slay a Philistine giant, that anointing is what is upon us. The anointing of Joshua to walk around Jericho, that is the anointing that is upon us. It is a season where we will cross over. It is a season that God has prepared for us, that before the foundations of the earth, he brought us out to take us in. These seasons have been pre-prepared for you and I. They're not happening by mistake. They're not happening by